WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, November 7th, 2016. I trust that you all had a great weekend out there. It was a busy weekend in the world of sports. We will chat about the Detroit Lions. That's right, the Honolulu Blue and Silver pulled out a thrilling comeback victory over the Minnesota Vikings with just seconds left in the fourth quarter. Matthew Prater hit a 58-yard field goal to send things into overtime, and Golden State flipped his way into the end zone, giving the D a win. Actually, four wins in the last five games for the Detroit Lions. We will talk about how the Lions were able to pull off that stunner. Also, we will recap the weekend that was for both the Michigan State football team as well as the University of Michigan. Two teams clearly trending in opposite directions. Michigan State, losers of seven straight games. Can you believe that? I never thought I'd be saying that here on November 7th, folks. Unbelievable year for Coach D. I don't know how he's holding it together. On a lighter note, we will also recap the weekend that was for MSU men's soccer as the program hosted its very first Big Ten tournament game, and the Spartans get a big win over Penn State to move on in the tournament. Live in studio, we will invite Damon Rensing to the show, head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. As you guys see, I've got a struggling on today's show. Get it together, Al. Here we go, 517-355-9527. Isaac, get a brother some water, man. Before we dive into today's show, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I got it together, folks. All right, quick hit headliners. Here we go. Fourth-seeded Michigan State men's soccer took down fifth-seed Penn State 2-1 in the Big Ten tourney on Sunday. Giuseppe Baroni opened the scoring for the Spartans in the 19th minute, but late in the first half, the Nittany Lions equalized with a beautiful free kick. In the 75th minute, Jimmy Fiskus scored his first goal of the year on a diving header to put the Spartans ahead for good, avenging a 2-1 loss to Penn State earlier this year. Now, MSU will continue action in the Big Ten tourney when they face top-seeded Maryland on November 11th in Indy for the semifinals. Now, we will invite head coach of the Spartans, Damon Rensing, to Current Sports later this hour. You do not want to miss that yet. The number 22 MSU women's basketball team played their lone exhibition of the season, defeating Northwood yesterday afternoon, 82-47. Seven Spartans scored at least 8 points last night, led by senior Tori Jankowska, who had 23 points, 7 assists, 2 boards. The Spartans open the regular season this Friday when they host Davison, tip-off set for 7 p.m. Also, it was announced on Friday that junior point guard Morgan Green has been dismissed from the program. Merchant said in a statement, quote, Morgan could not live up to the expectations necessary to be a part of the Spartan basketball program. Moving on, the U of M men's basketball team took down Armstrong State this past Friday night, 77-49, the final. Sophomore Moritz Wagner and senior Zach Irvin were the scoring leaders with 15 points apiece. U of M will start the regular season this Friday against Howard. Tip time for that is set for 9 p.m. On Friday night, the MSU hockey team and Michigan Tech play to overtime for a 6th straight meeting, this time with the Spartans edging them out 3-2. Mason Appleton scored twice, including the game winner in OT, and provided an assist in the game. Zach Osborne was superb in the game, as well as adding a goal and assist on defense, with Ed Minnie providing a solid outing in net. to lead the Spartans to victory. But on Saturday was a different story, all right, folks? With the Spartans struggling out of the gate, spotting Tech a 2-0 lead, MSU would eventually cut it to 2-1 with Sam Saliba recording his first career point, but ultimately fell short 5-1 after early goals in the third for the Huskies. MSU will look to bounce back on Thursday against Ferris State. In the latest Associated Press college football poll, Michigan remains number 2, receiving 1 first place vote after a dominating 59-3 victory over Maryland, but fell 1 spot in the coaches poll to number 3, getting jumped by Clemson. 4 other Big Ten teams made the top 25 as well. Ohio State at 6, Wisconsin at 7, Penn State to 12, and Nebraska fell to number 21. Western Michigan improved its ranking to number 14 in the latest poll, as they are now just 3 games away from a perfect regular season. It's pretty safe to say the Detroit Lions always find a way, at least this season, okay? Detroit took down division leaders, that's right, the Minnesota Vikings, 22-16 in overtime. After giving up the lead with just 23 seconds left yesterday afternoon and no timeouts, Matthew Stafford demonstrates once again why he is a true MVP candidate. Now he moves his team down the field 35 yards with the help of a 27-yard pass to Andre Roberts before he was able to spike the ball and stop the clock with 2 seconds left. Matt Prater kicked a 58-yard field goal that will send the game into OT. Lions won the toss, started overtime on the 13-yard line. The game-winning play came on a 3rd-and-8. Stafford to Golden Tate, who used some impressive footwork to stay in bounds, running all the way to the goal line and flipping over the safety into the red zone for a Lions dub. We'll have more on that game in just a second. Don't go anywhere. The Detroit Red Wings, in their last ever meeting at the Joe, the Edmonton Oilers defeated the Wings by a score of 2-1 on Sunday. MSU alum Justin Abdelkader opened the scoring in the first, but the Oilers were able to equalize. Late in the second, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gave the Oilers a 2-1 lead with a power play goal past Jimmy Howard, which ended up resulting in the game winner. Now, the Wings will look to end a 5-game skid on Tuesday in Philly when they take on the Flyers. Coming off a 103-86 win against the Denver Nuggets on Saturday, the Detroit Pistons will be on the road in L.A. tonight to take on the Clippers, with Detroit having a 4-2 record and L.A. having a 5-1 record. The deciding factor in this game may come down to defense. The Clippers lead the league in scoring D, limiting opponents to 90.7 points per game while producing 102.7 points per outing, while the Pistons are 2nd in scoring defense, limiting opponents to 93 points per game, while averaging a little over 100 points per game offensively. It's a late one for us here in the Midwest. Tip time set for 10:30 p.m. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open right now, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
It is Golden Tate. Off the fade to Washington. This is Tate. Spins free. Vikings drop 3 defensive backs. Back on the other side of the 50. As Stafford hits Golden Tate. Stand-yard field goal by Matt Prater to send the game into overtime. And now Stafford on first down. Complete to Golden Tate. Stafford to Golden Tate for a Detroit first down. Stafford throws, and it's complete to Golden Tate, who has a first down and then dives to the end zone for a Lions touchdown.
This is a heck of a throw by Matthew Stafford right here. He's high load right there. Does Golden Tate tap the sidelines and stay in bounds? All scoring plays reviewed, so we'll get a confirmation here.
Tate stayed in bounds.
So this is going to be ruled a touchdown. So as devastating as Philadelphia was, as devastating as Chicago was, this is going to be real difficult for the Minnesota Vikings to bounce back from.
The ruling on the field is confirmed. The runner stayed in bounds, and the ball crossed the plane of the goal line in his possession. Touchdown, and the game is over.
And that is how we start this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Golden Tate was absolutely fantastic yesterday for the Detroit Lions. I mean, the man had 11 catches for 79 yards. No reception more important than the one that ended up being the game winner in overtime, that 28-yard touchdown reception from the rocket arm of Matthew Stafford. I mean, how sexy was that play? Golden Tate catches the football, veers toward the left sideline, stops on a dime, one defender, flies out of bounds. I mean, it looked like he was Superman. Because, I mean, just looking at Tate, I mean, he stopped on a dime, folks. I mean, I probably would have flew into the sidelines, too, if I was trying to tackle him. And then Tate does a great job of protecting the football, one, and shedding off a tackle from the second defender. And then he just gets his Simone Biles on. I mean, he looked like he was competing for USA Gymnastics with that rollover flip into the end zone. I mean, that's how you end a game, right? End it with some flair, right? And there were some NFL fans out there on social media talking about, oh, okay, that's just showboating. Tate, you didn't have to do that. Tate, don't listen to it, dude. Have some fun. The NFL already gets a bad rep for being the NFL, the no fun league. Have some fun. I would probably get the same thing, man. If you know you're going into the end zone, have some fun with it. It's all about entertainment. You know, the NFL ratings have been down this year anyway. You know, you want to draw some eyeballs and make it, just make it fun. It's football. It's sports. So I had no problem with them tumbling to the end zone like that. So we're going to chat about the Detroit Lions win in just a second. I first off want to say happy, happy Monday to you all. It was a great weekend for myself. I actually got a chance to hit the golf course with our current sports engineer, Isaac Constance. For the very first time, Isaac went out and played the game of golf. And I must say, not a bad first time outing for Isaac Constance. I must say that, folks. Isaac, how you doing, my man?
Doing well. Well, daily activities have become a little bit exacting, shall we say, today, just because I've got this huge blister on my thumb. I don't think you can see it all the way from there. But
No. Anyway. I don't think I want to.
I've been opening water bottles and just every single time. So anyway, hopefully the show goes well. But I've got a good excuse if there are any technical errors on this end of the show, because we'll blame that on the golfing. But it was a blast. The day was beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-Michigan having a 60-degree day in November. Couldn't pass it up and absolutely loved it.
It actually hit 70 that day that we were out, and it was a great 18, played a great 18. And, you know, it's just to get away from things. And we were actually out there during, and I'm glad I missed it, folks. I have no remorse for missing that game. MSU football losing to Illinois. We had a noon tee time, and we went out there, and, you know, we were playing as the game was going on. And, of course, by the time we got to our car and we wrapped up, we had saw that MSU had lost that game. So we'll dive into what is going wrong with Sparty. I went back and checked out the highlights on the Big Ten Network, and I've heard from multiple analysts breaking down what is wrong with the MSU football team. So we'll chat about Mark D'Antonio's team. It's also a big week here in our Studio S, Radio Studio S here at WKER. The studio is being prepped for election coverage tomorrow. That's right. Go out and vote, folks. Election day is tomorrow. Many people will be hitting the polls to let their respective voice be heard. And Current State actually doing a pre-tape show, I believe, in the morning tomorrow, and they will have coverage all night. all night. There will be roll-ins three times an hour starting later on that evening tomorrow night. And right here in our studio, it's kind of been transformed. Those who are tuned in via Facebook Live can't see it right now. But in our Studio S, I mean, we've got a printer in here. That's never been in here before. We've got two phone lines in here. I'm assuming that there will be correspondents calling in and giving us results throughout the day tomorrow. And we also even have a television here in Studio S, and I'm checking out CNN right now as Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are addressing the crowd, actually in Ann Arbor, Michigan, as we speak. So it's going to be a crazy day on our airwaves tomorrow. And, you know, just to shout out the College of Communication Arts and Sciences here at Michigan State, Michigan First Election will be taking place in our very new, and it looks unbelievable, folks. It's a newsroom, basically. A newsroom with cameras and computers all throughout it on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. I mean, students will have the opportunity to experience a hands-on feel of just what it's like to anchor a news show and to produce a news TV show. It's very cool. The technology is through the roof, and students will be helping out with election coverage. Over 200 students, I'm told, tomorrow for Michigan First Election in collaboration with WKAR. So a lot going on this week, in particular this Tuesday, seeing as though it is Election Day. But hey, get out and vote. It's your right. It's your duty. If you're upset with anything that is going on in around your local community or our national government, hey, do something to change it. Go out there and let your voice be heard by voting. All right, folks, I know I will. All right, keeping it pushing now. Let's get back to the Detroit Lions, folks. You know, it's so remarkable. You know, just evaluating how this year has gone for the Lions thus far. I mean, look at where they sit, folks. 5-4, just a half game in back of the Minnesota Vikings, who currently lead the NFC North, the team that fell to the Detroit Lions yesterday afternoon. And, you know, I said to myself, as that game came down to the wire, I said to myself, this is Matthew Stafford. This is a man who has led, coming into that game against Minnesota, 4 comeback wins on the final drive for the D. He's been clutch, folks. The pure definition of clutch. So as I'm watching that game, and Minnesota ends up taking the lead, and they give the Lions the football with just 23 seconds left in regulation. Just 23 seconds. But as I sat there on my couch, I said to myself, I'm not going to put anything past Matthew Stafford, because we've seen him do this time and time again. First play, Matthew Stafford finds Golden Tate on the left hash, the left sideline, excuse me. Tate goes out to stop the clock. Second play, and I said to myself, and those who tuned in to current state this morning heard my rant about this. I said to myself, the Lions have to at least get 25 here to give Matthew Prater just a small semblance of a chance to tie this thing up. Matthew Stafford drops back in the pocket, and who does he find? Andre Roberts for 27 yards. But this was the key. This is what really won the game in my estimation, folks. Matthew Stafford and that Detroit Lions offense, realizing just how critical the moment was. Again, they started to drive with just 23 seconds left. You throw a 27-yard pass. Tick, 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 tick. You know the clock is about to wind down soon. It was heads up for everybody on that Detroit Lions offense. All 11 men to be on the same page to line up in a legal formation to allow Matty Staff to hike and spike with just 2 seconds left. I mean, that was the game right there for me, folks. I mean, that was fantastic. There was a sense of urgency that was on the minds of everybody on the field during that moment for the Detroit Lions. I loved it. And then you have Matthew Prater, who also is the definition of clutch, folks. Prater boots a 58-yard field goal that could have been good from about 62, 63 maybe even. Plenty of leg on it. Ties the game up to end regulation. Remarkable moment, folks. And speaking of Prater, talk about clutch. Prater is now 23 of 23 on game-tying or go-ahead field goal attempts in the fourth quarter or overtime. He has never missed when the game has been on the line. Matthew Prater, hats off to you, my man. Then it goes to overtime, and we saw what happens. The Lions, they receive the football first. They go down the field. Matthew Stafford finds Golden Tate, who has been awesome for this team as of late. I mean, Golden Tate started off the year very slow. A slow start and had everybody questioning, okay, what's up? Because, you know, we all know this offense is humming. This offense really hums when Golden Tate is producing. And when Matthew Stafford is finding Tate for those yak yards, is what they call it, YAC yards. He is the best in the game of football when it comes to yards after catch. And that culminated with that 28-yard TD to win the game. I mean, just a remarkable play for Tate to just stay in bounds, shed off one defender, and then flip into the end zone. Absolutely fantastic. And you have to ask yourself, okay, living on the edge is what this Lions team has done so far, right? Five wins, five close wins, game-winning drives deciding the outcome of those wins. But nonetheless, they sit at 5-4. You know, there is the fan that would say, okay, they're winning games, but they can't keep this up. They can't live on the edge the rest of the year. And I certainly get it. Because at some point, something's got to give where you got to say, okay, let's assert ourselves at the very beginning of this game and not get ourselves in a position where we're in desperation mode and have to go down the field on a game-winning drive with under 30 left to play. But at the same time, I will say this. Winning close games like that do so much for your confidence. It really does. It does so much for your psyche. Because you really never feel like you're out of the game. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens in those first through three quarters, the Detroit Lions now have a bona fide mindset that they can still come back. And we all know confidence is half the battle when playing pro sports. And they have that now. Another thing that helps the Detroit Lions, other than confidence here and psyche, the Lions now play all three of their remaining division games in the friendly confines of Ford Field. That's right, at home. That is huge. I can't state enough how big that is for this team. And I believe the Lions have a legit shot of taking over that reign that the Vikings currently have of being top dog in the NFC North. Now, with the exception of next week, I should say this weekend now, these are all winnable games moving forward. All right, they play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then they move on Thanksgiving Day. I can't believe Thanksgiving is right around the corner. But on Thanksgiving Day, the Vikings will have a shot at redemption as they will come to Ford Field for a Thanksgiving Day matchup against the Lions. Then they play the lowly New Orleans Saints. I'm looking at Isaac right now as he smiles across the glass.
Smiles?
Here.
No. 4-4, 4-1 the last five games.
Yeah,
go
right.
ahead.
I know. Yeah, they play the Saints. They can beat the Saints, I think. Then they play the Bears. That's a winnable game. The Giants have been inconsistent this year. I think that's also a winnable game. They're not beating my Dallas Cowboys. Let's be real here. The Cowboys are one of the hottest teams in the league right now, and Isaac's chuckling about that, all right? The Cowboys are on a complete roll right now. I don't see them going to Dallas and beating the – come on, be real, Isaac. Come on now. Do you agree with that?
No. Cowboys are a good team. I don't think the Lions will win that game at the same time. No, I mean, it's winnable. It's
winnable.
Definitely winnable.
All of these games are winnable for the Lions moving forward here. And then they wrap up the year against the Packers, and we all know the Packers are having a just – I don't know what's up with the Packers right now. So these are all winnable games. So if somebody would have told me that the Lions would sit at 5-4 after, you know, week 9 against the Minnesota Vikings, I would have said, no, that's crazy. I couldn't see that. But they've done it, folks, and it's been so impressive. And the other question that I actually got into a big debate about on Facebook yesterday is Matthew Stafford, does he deserve to be in the conversation for MVP? And in my opinion, that's a complete no-brainer. You know, again, this is my definition of the MVP, okay? And it varies from sports to sport. And this definition doesn't always, you know, come to fruition, i.e. the NBA. But in my opinion, the MVP award is exactly what it states. The most valuable player of the league. And, you know, in another definition, if you take that player away, that team crumbles. And if you take Matthew Stafford away from the Detroit Lions equation this season, I guarantee you that they are not an above 500 team as we speak here on November 7th. I guarantee that, folks. And you look at the numbers. I mean, the stats speak for themselves. Right now, Matthew Stafford is a top 10 quarterback in passing yards this season. Matthew Stafford is the sixth overall quarterback in touchdowns so far this year. Matthew Stafford has the fourth best passer rating among quarterbacks in the league with over 100 pass attempts. And hey, clutch. Since 2011, no quarterback has more fourth quarter comebacks than Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford has 19 fourth quarter comebacks since 2011, folks. And he threw for 219, two TDs against the league's fourth ranked pass defense. Absolutely fantastic. So I put that on my status, and I had a few people out there to disagree. You know, Matt Ryan's name came up when I posted that status, and I totally agree. I think Matt Ryan is certainly in the conversation. He's having a great year with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not going to dispute that. All right? Then I heard Tom Brady's name come up. Now, this is the thing about Tom Brady. Tom Brady, best quarterback in the league. And Tom Brady, you can argue that he'll go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterbacks to ever play the game. And we can go back and forth about that. There's other names you could bring up in that conversation. Of course, Joe Montana. Montana's my number one. That's just me, though. But, you know, Brady, when it's all said and done, he's going to be one of the greatest. All right? Simple as that. And what Tom has been doing since he's come back from that four-game suspension has been absolutely remarkable for the New England Patriots. Don't get me wrong, all right? But the fact that Tom Brady did miss the first four games of the year is going to hurt him in that argument, as opposed to other quarterbacks out there or other players in general who have played the entire season and have been consistently stout players on the football field. That's going to hurt Tom Brady. I don't see how a man can miss the first four games of the year and still be considered MVP. Now, when it comes to Tom, also, I go back to my literal definition of that award, most valuable player. When you take that player away, what happens to that team? Well, we saw in the first 4 weeks, the New England Patriots still went 3-1 without Tom Brady. Bill Belichick is such a mastermind that it doesn't matter the circumstances. He is going to make sure his team is prepared to compete and win on any given Sunday. Tom Brady's value to the New England Patriots is certainly high, but in comparison to that of other players of the league, I don't know if it measures up. Again, take Matthew Stafford away, you don't have a 5-4 record for this team. So what do you think? What do you think about the Detroit Lions so far? Again, they are winners of four of the last five games. That lone loss coming at the hands of the Houston Texans on the road, 20-13, if you remember. What do you think about them? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Thoughts from Isaac Constance. Isaac, what do you think about the Lions' run so far? And what'd you think about yesterday afternoon's game?
Well, it was really phenomenal seeing this team just hang in and make the plays when they need to most, not just on the offensive end. Let's make that clear right now. Also on the defensive end, to be able to withstand all of that. And obviously, this Minnesota team's a little bit battered. The offensive line isn't the best. But you do have to capitalize in games like this when you're going up against a stout defense like the Minnesota Vikings. So the Lions did a really good job of that. Golden Tate deserves all of the plaudits that he's currently receiving, because this is a guy who I predicted to have a top 10 receiver caliber season. He hadn't been close. But let's be real. He has not been close.
At the very beginning of the year.
At the very beginning. Right. Recently, he has slowly chipped away and came back. And for him to make that final play, not only did it show a great throw, a great catch, but also a great connection between Matthew Stafford and Golden Tate. And yeah, anybody saying Matthew Stafford should not be in the NFL MVP conversation right now, they can go home. It's just, that's the way it is.
It's if pretty Matt obvious Ryan to me. It's very
is
obvious
in the
to
conversation.
Me,
Matthew Stafford is in the conversation.
Yeah.
Both of them are almost on that equal standing, especially how Matthew Stafford this year has led just about more game-winning drives than any other quarterback in the league. So Matthew Stafford definitely in it. So is Tom Brady. But no, the Lions definitely as a team have taken this season and ratcheted up a step, if you will. They really have elevated their game. And early on, so many coaches and so many people around the area saying, of course, this team could not replicate the success of 2 years ago. They can.
I will say this, though. That Detroit Lions defense has to get better. Because there are times throughout, and we saw it against Minnesota, there are times when they give up way too many plays, specifically when it comes to third downs. That happens way too often. Also, when it comes to tight ends, how many times have we seen this year the Detroit Lions defense give up touchdown after touchdown after touchdown to respective tight ends on any given Sunday? Got to get healthy too. Darius Slay, he was out again, so they're missing one of their big corners.
Yep.
And also, the Minnesota Vikings did help the D yesterday as well because their special teams was not great. We saw Blair Walsh missing an extra point, and he also got a field goal attempt blocked, and that was returned by Glover Quinn. So they got some help yesterday, I will say that. But if they want to beat the big dogs and they want to stay in this playoff contention talk and they want to stay above 500, that defense has to help Matty Staff out. Also want to know, you know, I get this question a lot. What's the difference between Matthew Stafford last year and this year? As far as Matthew Stafford goes, nothing. Okay, Matthew Stafford has always been this guy. The difference is that he finally has protection in front of him that that allows him to flourish in those moments. For instance, if you look at last year, Isaac, in two games against the Minnesota Vikings, Matthew Stafford, he was sacked 8 and he was hit 11 in two games versus the Vikings last year. Yesterday, hit just 3 times, sacked 1. That's been the big difference here. This offensive line is giving Matthew Stafford enough time to allocate the football around with his repertoire of receivers and even tight end Eric Ebron, who I think has had a solid year so far this season. So that's the difference. And I got into a debate about this. You know, I always debate when it came to Matthew Stafford. Because I've always been a Matthew Stafford lover. And I used to get into this debate with my cousin Remy all the time. Remy would say, oh, get rid of Matthew Stafford without looking at the big picture. When the Lions were struggling to, you know, especially when, you know, you remember that year when they went out against my Dallas Cowboys, right? And, you know, the year after that, they traded water, not, you know, and had just mindless losses. Well, how can you expect to really accurately judge how good Matthew Stafford is if he's constantly got opposition in his face all the time? And also, not to mention, the offensive play calling, horrible, if you remember. Jim Bob Cooter has done a great job. He's an excellent play caller, and he's done a great job of just, you know, being creative with his play calling Sunday after Sunday, and that also helps the team as well. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, later on in the hour, we'll of course, recap the weekend that was for the MSU and U of M football teams. But before we do that, we will invite our guest for today's Current Sports, Damon Rensing, head coach of Michigan State men's soccer. Damon and his troops got a huge win in the Big Ten tourney at DeMartin yesterday. Find out how it all played out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the moment you wake up through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you.
Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Protesters have been
through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
The morning's news between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
Forget election fatigue. EJ Johnson is excited.
Things I've ever done.
Her fifth grade class is urging college students to register to vote.
It's torture to know that so many people worked so hard to get that right to vote, and people aren't voting.
I'm Audie Cornish, Civics, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
still knotted up at one apiece. Spartans looking to regain the lead. High-flying corner. Reedy headed it down. Now a second chance for the Spartans. Sierakowski at the top of the box. Lets it fly. That save made, but headed in by Jimmy Viscus. Evan Finney held on as long as he could, but Viscus dove forward to make this match 2-1 Michigan State.
What a play by the defender, Jimmy Viscus. He does not always get the opportunities to score. And you know what? All of this started with Ken Kurlicki's beautiful chip shot in there. And the Spartans kept pushing. We're going to see Ryan Sierakowski involved. There Jimmy Viscus was, waiting.
Ah, yes, what a moment it was. Kevin Gill and Olivia Rubik of BTN Plus on the call yesterday afternoon at DeMartin Stadium. The MSU men's soccer team hosted its first ever Big Ten tourney game, beating Penn State 2-1 on Sunday afternoon. The fourth-ranked Spartans knocked off the fifth-ranked Nittany Lions. Now moving on to play top-seeded Maryland, who knocked off eighth-seed Michigan 3-2 in double OT. To talk about the win this past weekend is the head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program, my man 50 grand, Damon Rensing. Damon, how you doing?
Good, L, man. How are you?
Always good seeing you, brother. I know you have to be smiling from ear to ear like you are right now because of that huge win at DeMartin yesterday. First off, I just want to talk about you guys hosting the very first ever Big Ten tourney game at DeMartin Stadium. Just how big is that for your program?
It was great. I mean, you know, way back in the day, we had a rotating where we would have the Big Ten tournament, but it would basically we would host the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So this was the last few years, the top four seeds host, and it really kind of accents everything. And it was huge for our guys. You know, we had a tough week of travel the week before. DeMartin Stadium, that field, the setting. I mean, the crowd was raucous. So just to have that and play at home, and then to deliver a win for the fans was awesome.
Very cool stuff. And Damon, you have the most home wins in school history at 9-0-1 now. And this tops the previous mark set in 2010 at 8-2-0, and the first time dating all the way back to 1975 that the team has gone undefeated at home. What gives you all the extra mojo, if you will, at DeMartin? What has gone down this year at home that has allowed you guys to have that edge?
Well, it's just it's a great home setting. Our fans have been great. The crowds, I mean, we had 3,000 fans when we played Michigan. We close to, you know, 1,500, 2,000 at some of the other Big Ten games, and then a great crowd yesterday. So the crowd's huge. Our grounds people, Amy Foudy and their group, the pitch is perfect. It's a fast track. So we're a very possession-oriented team, so we're very comfortable playing on our home field. And I think we made a point this year. You know, there's been some other years where maybe we haven't had the best home record. I think teams have gotten fired up to come in and play us, and they get excited about playing at DeMartin. And this year we said, hey, not in our house. We gotta defend our home turf, and we really made a point to do it. And to our guys' credit, they have really come on and done it.
Yeah, Damon, you guys did that and then some. The win over Penn State helped you avenge a 2-1 regular season loss at Penn State, as well as a 2-1 overtime loss to the Nittany Lions in last year's Big Ten tournament. So I got to ask, Damon, how loud was the redemption song that was played on the heels of this matchup?
Yeah, it was, you know, that was in our minds, and we talked about that. They ended our season last year, and then, you know, basically their losing at Penn State took us out of the running to win the league this year. So we were really, really focused, and, you know, we had a chance. Anytime you get Penn State, they're fired up, and they got some good players, but, their season was on the line, so we knew we had to kind of match their intensity and the revenge factor, and the song was definitely played after the game.
So you used that as motivation coming into this game.
Yeah,
what was the response?
Sure.
When you bring up that moment last year in the Big Ten tournament and earlier this season, I mean, what was the response from your troops?
Well, that's what it was, a response. Our guys, they respond to challenges pretty well. This team's been really good at that, and we just kind of reminded them, hey, we've got, you know, last year wasn't a great year, and Penn State was a reason why they ended that year for us. And so I think guys not just wanted to beat Penn State, but they kind of wanted to get redemption for the season last year. So it's been great, and, you know, they really responded.
You heard the call on BTN Plus. Damon, can you kind of take us through that game-winning goal for Jimmy Viscus and how it played out for him to get in position for that header in front of the net? I mean, what played out, and what did you see on the sidelines as the ball went through the net?
Well, you know, he's a defender, but he was up in the play because we had a corner kick and a restart, so he stayed up in the play. You know, I thought Sierakowski made a really good play to keep the ball in, and he took a great shot. Their keeper made a great save, and we joke with Jimmy. He's better with his head than his feet as a defender. And so he could have probably kicked it in with his foot, but he decided it was a safer bet was just the diving header. So, but I'm happy for Jimmy. I mean, he's kind of an unsung hero for us. He's a leader. He's a blood and guts guy and does a ton of stuff for us, but rarely is you know, in the spotlight with goals and assists. And he got named a College Soccer News National Team of the Week this week, so that was cool for him, and we're happy for him.
15 minutes still left to play when that goal goes in. What's the message to the team, and what allowed them to really hold it down and not allow Penn State to get an equalizer?
Yeah, we always, anytime there's a goal score, we always kind of say, hey, the next 5 minutes. So we don't want to give anything up in the next five. It's a very vulnerable time when you give up a goal. I think you use a lot of emotional energy, and so we made sure we kind of settled the next 5 minutes down, and we did a good job of that. And then we just really didn't change much. We kind of kept attacking. You didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to go into a prevent defense. We wanted to kind of keep attacking. And then the last 2-3 minutes, you're gonna sit in and do it, but you don't want to do it too early. And so our guys kept going, and you know, almost had a couple chances to go get that second goal, but I think we stayed on the attack, and that was the difference.
Damon Rensing, head coach of MSU Men's Soccer, is in studio with us. Folks, if you're out there listening and want to weigh in on anything, if you got a question for Damon, please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Damon, you had a 13-4 shots advantage throughout this game with the Penn State goal as the only shot on goal. Defensively, what did you like from your team?
Yeah, we just didn't give up a lot of chances. We're very organized. It's a tough team, mentally tough team, and I think we've always kind of prided ourselves on defense. And so, you know, that was a free kick, and to their kid's credit, he scored a great goal. He's a first-team All-Big Ten player. But, you know, I didn't think we got rattled. We just kept defending, and that's one of our trademarks. Even though we're on the ball and we like to attack, we want to be very cautious of what we're giving up. And so, So, yeah, I was very happy with our defensive effort and honestly our whole effort for about 90 minutes.
I feel like, Damon, after every game I'm hearing the name of sophomore forward, Ryan Sierakowski, just mentioned 1,000 times, okay? We've already brought him up really briefly here because, you know, his shot is what kind of set up Fiskus to allow him to get that header to you know, eventually becoming the game winner. He was named first-team All-Big Ten last week. What makes Ryan such a dynamic player?
Well, I think he can score different ways. You know, he's good with both feet. He really, really works hard. His work rate, both defensively but off the ball, is exceptional. I mean, we play him sometimes. He plays 90 minutes almost every game. I think at one point he played 94% of our minutes, which is for a forward is unbelievable.
Wow.
So, and he's got a nose for a goal, and I think he's playing with confidence. I think anytime a forward or a sport where you require scoring, you need confidence, and he's really playing with that right now. I think last year as a freshman, he was hoping to score goals, and now I think he knows he can score goals.
Ryan, you mentioned how many minutes he's playing. I mean, how has he been able to stay healthy during this entire time?
He's a freak. He's just an athletic freak, I think. His fitness level is off the charts, and we keep checking him. Like, you're right, you need an extra, you know, 5 minutes here or there, and he just keeps going. He's like, no, I'm fine, and we check him on stuff, and he really is really on top of that. So, you know, I think he takes care of his body and eats well and sleeps and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, he's been great for us.
On your roster, Damon, has there been any players, a few that you can name, that have been pleasant surprises for you this year?
Well, I don't know if it's been a surprise because he's been a senior, but our right back, Dewey Lewis, I mean, he's been one of our top players game in and game out. He's so consistent. He's got a really good temperament, and he made an exceptional play when Penn State, we were up 2-1, and they were countering, and he really saved a goal. Just by his sheer work rate and will, and he's been really good attacking and getting crosses for us. So I've been really happy with the way Dewey's came on and played this year. It's been great to have him for 4 years, but he's been a really integral part of our success.
So now you hit the road, Damon, against top seed Maryland. You lost 2-0 in September to them. What do you take away from that game in preparation for what you think you'll see against this team later on this week?
Right, yeah, and they're 16-0-2 and number one in the country, so not just the top seed. But, you know, we played at their place. It was 7,500 fans. It was a very hostile environment. They're a very good team. I think, you know, in a neutral site in Indianapolis, it'll be a little bit different setting where we can maybe get a little bit more comfortable earlier because, like I said, that was a really raucous crowd that we played in front of. But, you know, we're going to have to be very sound, and I think we're going to have to play through some pressure there. That's one of their keys is they like to put pressure on teams. And But I think we got a good temperament and a good leadership. So it'll be a very, very tough game, but I think we'll be ready to go.
Michigan was able to push that team, the number one team in the nation, to a double overtime thriller. Michigan came out on the short end of the stick there, but have you looked at the film at all? And do you take some solace in knowing that if Michigan can push this team to the brink, we certainly have a chance?
Right. No, Michigan played very well yesterday. I did watch that game, and no, I think there's some things that came out in that game that we can look at and try to expose, and also know where Maryland's strengths are, which is they just got a lot of weapons. But we'll be ready, and I certainly when we play the way we're capable of, we feel like we can beat anybody in the country if we do the things and we prepare and the guys execute the game plan. There's nobody that we don't expect that we can't beat.
Damon Rensing, head coach of the MSU men's soccer team. Damon, win or lose this weekend, how do you think the way the regular season has played out for you all, the way the tourney has played out thus far for you all, and what position do you think you have set yourself up for come NCAA tourney time?
Yeah, we're about a 20 RPI, and that really kind of heavily weighs on the committee. We've got good wins, like a win at Notre Dame. We've beaten Akron, who's in the top 50. So we've got some good top 50 RPI wins. We got a really good road win. Win or lose against Maryland, I think our RPI will go up because of the strength of schedule. They're the number two RPI team in the country. So we're in a good spot. Never say never, but or we're in until you see your name on the line there. But I feel like our body of work is in pretty good shape.
And talk about body of work. Damon, you have done an outstanding job, especially in recent years here for this program. I mean, I mentioned how, you've gone undefeated at home this year. I mean, you've been in contention every single season when it comes to a possible Big Ten championship. You've done great when it comes to postseason time. Do you sometimes look back and say, okay, what I'm building here is pretty darn good? And what's the key to being consistent every single year in that success?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that we're real proud of is we've got like 8 or 9 of our starters are from the state of Michigan, which is pretty cool. So I think we've got a good chemistry, a good culture. Those guys know each other. And so that's been a hallmark of our program. And then we've just, put ourselves in front of big games. I mean, I've learned from Coach Izzo, Coach D'Antonio, just watching how they do things. We play a lot of tough non-conference games to prepare us. And so when we get to the NCAA tournament, it's nothing that we haven't seen. And, we just want to be consistent, and we've been able to do that. I think the other thing is we don't go through a lot of transfers or things like that. I mean, I think, we suffered last year a little bit in the win-loss column, but it was to get ready for this year. And so, we're not going to take any shortcuts. We're going to try to do things the right way through hard work and with the players that we bring in. And that's been a staple for us, and it's been a huge part of our success.
Damon, we'll keep it up. We'll be rooting for you this Friday against Maryland, all right? I'm looking forward to seeing a Spartan win, possibly, this Friday. And before we get out of here, a quick segue into my final question for you here. You mentioned how you look at two of the most recognizable coaches in college sports, in Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio. When it comes to Mark, after this break, we're going to be breaking down what is taking place for this team. Again, 7 straight losses against Illinois on Saturday afternoon. This is the toughest parts ever of Mark D'Antonio's tenure as head coach of the MSU football program. Have you had any discussions with Coach D? And if not, what do you say to him if you did?
Well, I haven't actually had any discussions with him, but I would like to say too, those two guys, no matter what kind of season those football and basketball programs, what those guys do for our other programs at the athletic department is invaluable. And so we're huge supporters of both Tom and Mark there. And look, Mark's been an unbelievable coach for us. His coaching hasn't changed in 1 year. I mean, there's a reason why he's been successful. Sometimes things just don't, he's always said it's a matter of inches. Sometimes the ball just doesn't go your way. And I know it's over several games, but, I think he'll stay focused, and he knows what it takes to win, obviously, in this athletic department, and he's done a great job. And, I think if you would have said, 10 years ago when he came on board, if we could have had a coach that would have done what he's done, I think we'd all say we'd be very, very fortunate to have Mark D'Antonio coaching for us. And so let's not look too much into this year, and just know that I think he'll do whatever it takes and help us get right back on track in the future.
Very well said. And that's kind of the gist of my message that I'm going to be preaching after this second break. Hey, Spartan fans, relax. It happens, okay? my man, Damon Rensing, the head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program. Again, Damon and his troops will play top seed Maryland this Friday to possibly move on from the semifinals in the Big Ten tournament. Damon, we wish you all the luck in the world, my man. Keep it up, all right?
Thanks, so.
You got it. Second break. When we come back, we will chat about U of M and MSU football. We'll also give you an update on the local team still left in the high school football playoffs.
I'm Warren Olney. On the next To the Point, the presidency, the Senate, and the Supreme Court, all three branches of government are at stake on the eve of Election Day. We'll hit about last-minute attacks, but it's all come down to the ground games from North Carolina to Nevada, from New Hampshire to Florida. Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
To the Point this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have just under 10 minutes left in today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call in if you want to weigh in on anything that is on your sports noggin. Isaac, we just chatted with head coach of the MSU men's soccer team, Damon Rensing, about the win over Penn State. You are a soccer head, so I just want to get your thoughts, brief thoughts on how this year has played out for Damon's team. They have never lost at home all year. They are now in the semifinals. They will play the number one soccer team in the nation, the number one seed in the Big Ten tourney in Maryland. Impressive stuff.
Exactly. Maryland, you cannot judge this team necessarily against them compared to Maryland just because Maryland is one of the biggest programs, not just this year, but year in, year out in men's soccer. So no matter what the result of this upcoming game, the MSU team has done themselves justice this season and deserves, probably in my opinion, a top 20 ranking when it comes to tournament time, without doubt. I'd say top 15 even. But anyway, I was there on Sunday, and what struck me most about the Penn State game was the everybody pitch in mentality. This is a team that dominated the shot column 13-4, as you mentioned. Penn State's keeper had 5 saves throughout this game. He was phenomenal. If it wasn't for him, they would have lost probably 4-1. So the fact is, MSU played a great game, and even more than that, the defense was able to pitch in, help out, because in soccer, it's such a possession-oriented game. Damon Rensing really takes that to heart when he teaches his guys as well. So for MSU to be able to maintain that front foot on the gas mentality throughout that match, that was all the difference. And congrats to his guys for going forward. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the Maryland game, and I'll certainly be watching.
Yeah, Jimmy Hague just basically chilled out, didn't he?
Oh, entirely. I think he had one save the entire game.
Right. He was sipping tea, reading the newspaper. I mean, he probably was tuned into NFL football, probably sitting there.
I don't blame him, yeah.
All right, 5 minutes left here in the show. MSU football. Yeah, I hate to end the show on a downer, but yeah, it's this is real, folks. This is not a dream. This is a reality, and it's a reality that's a nightmare at the same time. 7-game losing streak for the Michigan State football team. MSU wins 0-6 in the Big Ten for the first time since joining the Big Ten back in 1953. That's the last time Michigan State started 0-6 in conference. And, you know, you evaluate what took place against Illinois. You know, Tyler O'Connor, he goes out and has to undergo a concussion test, and Damian Terry goes in. Malik McDowell, foot injury. It was announced yesterday from Coach D that Vyonte Copeland, the corner, is now out for the season with a broken foot. We didn't see Monte Nicholson or Kari Willis. They didn't play Saturday because they are, again, not healthy. Offensive lineman David Beadle also went out on that game. I mean, it just, when you have a combination of bad health mixed with youth, that is a combination that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy, okay? It's just bad. LJ Scott, you know, we saw him fumble the football on Saturday and then get benched. And, you know, now the question is, okay, what do you play for now? What do you play for? Because all the goals that you had coming into this year, the back-to-back mantra, right, trying to go back to a Big Ten championship and possibly have a chance at competing in another college football playoff, that's out the window. Competing in a bowl game, that's out the window. Three games left. Rutgers, Ohio State, Penn State. They will play a Rutgers team that has an identical record to the Spartans, both 2-7 here. You don't know what's going to happen. That's the thing now. The Spartans are at such a low point right now, and it's so bad that you just don't know what's going to happen. I think that Ohio State and Penn State are both losses. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to Rutgers, okay, at this point. I'm just saying, I wouldn't. To finish out the year, you just want to get better. And you just want to get some of your young studs more experience because this is the true definition of a rebuilding season. No guaranteed wins in the last 3 weeks of this season, folks, even against a 2-7 Rutgers team. As far as Michigan football goes, they, you know, it's funny, Isaac, we joked when I was on the golf course, I said, oh, man, they're about to throw up 60 on them. And they got really close. Actually,
they did.
1 point away from 60, just a complete blowout over the weekend. You know, we knew Michigan would roll in that game. Right now, all signs, in my opinion, point to an OSU and U of M thriller on November 26th. Michigan, in my opinion, has not been truly tested on the road. When they have to go to the Shoe to play this Ohio State team, we are really going to finally get a chance to see where the Wolverines sit, even if it is the final game of the season, all right? So what is your estimation about this year for MSU football? I'm very curious to see if Mark D'Antonio has a different tone from what we've seen in past press conferences because it's 7 straight. You know, and I said the same thing as 6 straight, but this is a new historical low. Again, 0-6 in conference for the first time since they joined the conference back in the 50s. Wow.
Well, I think it might be, 0-9 by the time it's all over? Rutgers is a coin flip. That's the point that we're at as an MSU program in terms of viewing it from a nonpartisan lens. Rutgers is a coin flip. And no matter what you want to say about this team, it's not that they haven't fought hard through games this season. You've got just players who have been injured, players who have been out of position, and players who have been out of their depth. And that's the thing. The coaching, yes, it's been problematic at times. Let's be honest, though. With perfect coaching, this team maybe wins 4 games, 5. You're still not looking at a bowl-caliber team. And this team just flat out has gone through an avalanche. They've declined like no other program in recent memory. And it is miserable to watch, even if you don't like the Spartans, just because, you know what, it's boring. It's depressing. You and I played golf over watching MSU football. And you know what? Thank God we did. Because nobody, you and I were saying, what question is there to ask? Because there is no goal now for this season. There's no way to keep the confidence up. There's nothing to ask. 7 is no different than 6.
Tough stuff. And we'll dive more into this tomorrow. We'll have coverage from the press conference of Coach D'Antonio again tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. You don't want to miss that. That and more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Much love to Damon Rensing, the head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program. And much love to all of you out there for tuning into this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. And Isaac, man, I see your Pelicans release Lance Stevenson. And they signed Archie
Goodwin.
He was hurt. But, man, it's tough being a Pels fan, all right, folks? We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Be easy, people.